You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off.
Well, I think we should open this with Pork Gone Wild. This is an article about earmarks, which I had hoped to God that we had learned our lesson on, but apparently we haven't. And the Democrats are pushing earmarks that are $6 billion and more. And they want to restore the Carnegie Museum. There's a Japanese garden that they want to $1,750,000 to spruce up a Japanese garden in Portland for meditation and restorative yoga.
Ava, I have to interrupt you there. Would this be a garden in the areas where they have completely destroyed the entire city?
Well, I was just going to say that. It's funny you say it, because I'm envisioning Portland, you know, with all the encampments and everything else going on. I don't know how that could be a meditation area at all. Most of Portland is occupied by people that are a little bit crazy. I am wondering right now, when I look through this list, I mean, it's just stunning. It's breathtaking to me. The money that they want to spend. I mean, $2 million in funding for a new art collection at the Brooklyn Museum in New York. $2 million for a pickleball and fitness circuit in Orange, California. $1.5 million to provide free public Wi-Fi in a California city. And $250,000 for a performing arts center that, according to the website of Val Demings, should be more than a beautifully designed building. It's just stunning to me, all these pet projects. And the only projects that really should be infrastructure would be roads and bridges in my mind. But, you know, I'll toss it to you guys and hear what you have to say about this.
Well, I agree with what you said about infrastructure. I mean, that's what it should be to me too. But my question about all of this spending requests that are being put into the federal government, none of these seem like they should be paid by the federal government to me. You take a museum, museums are generally funded by donations in one way or another, and shouldn't they be funded that way? Is the museum a nonprofit that belongs to, I don't know, the federal government? I understand that these are lawmakers that are from certain areas that are trying to get things for their districts. But when you talk about pickleball and you talk about Wi-Fi and some of these different things, it seems to me that those are projects that should be funded locally by the local government. They're only for local use. Why would we federally fund all of these crazy requests?
Because these are people buying votes. That's why. Because this is the classic way that the Democrats buy votes from the public. I mean, Barbara Lee has asked for $1 million to provide culturally relevant medical services to the Black community. To provide culturally relevant medical services to the Black community. What on earth does that even mean?
Well, does that fly in the face of their equity and their equality that they want? So somebody now gets specialized medical services. I just honestly don't understand these requests. They're easy for people to look up. They're all online. You can look up all 50 of, or at least the top 50 of these requests. This has gone crazy. These people have gone crazy with requesting money from the federal government, because Joe Biden is like, you know, being the bank with our money, by the way, to everybody for their kind of dumb requests.
You know what this makes me long for? The days of the captains and the kings of industry, the Carnegie Mellons, you know, all of these people who built our country, basically. They even built the infrastructure of our country. And it just makes me realize that capitalism is dying right now by the hands of the Democrats. They're strangling it.
Yeah, yeah. I see progressive squad member. Remember the squad, those four extremely radical left people? We're not hearing that much about them anymore. But progressive squad member Representative Ayanna Soyini Pressley, a Democrat from Massachusetts, requested $286,000 in funding to purchase technology and culturally relevant read-aloud books that support the goal of offering a more equitable and relevant literacy curriculum to students in public schools. I also don't know what on earth that means. I thought that people in public schools were being offered relevant literacy curriculum. I mean, isn't that what school is?
She's also asking, the same person is asking for $2.5 million for combined climate change management infrastructure and open community arts space. What is a combined climate change management infrastructure? I feel like they make these words and these things so vague and ambiguous that they therefore can't have any accountability for the money because it's so vague. You don't know what you're giving the money for.
And didn't Congress ban earmarking in 2011? Or am I just dreaming that?
No, 10 years ago, they banned it.
Yeah. And didn't two ex-lawmakers even face jail time after they had an investigation regarding the earmarks?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that too. They were accepting bribes for these earmarks. I mean, this is such a dirty, rotten system. This whole thing is a scam, you know?
You know, the left, this is the thing that the public just has to be aware of. Everybody out there in the public, please get your antennae up very high and be trolling for this sort of thing, because these people, the left, is always inventing new language. They are always coming up with these, all of a sudden there's some new phrase that everybody is using that nobody in the world knows what means at all. Nobody knows what it means. And yet it all starts being passed around now as it's the new thing. And they're all using this term as if we've always used it forever and we all know exactly what it means and we don't. What's this new thing? Rank something? I've just heard in the last few days. Rank, do you know what this is? This new term they're using now, rank voting, something to do with,
yeah,
rank
choice voting. Yes, I
yes.
know what it is.
What is that?
Well, it's another way to steal an election, basically.
They're working.
They had it in. They actually had ranked choice voting in California, and they stopped it.
And what does it mean? What does it mean?
Well, people, it's very complex to explain this. When you have a ballot, okay, and it has all these different candidates on the ballot, so now you have to choose your first choice, your second choice, your third choice, and so on. And then when these get counted, they supposedly go in some kind of a special order, okay? So if Mallory gets more votes than Linda, then now you go in the second round of counting, okay? It's very, very complex, and it's very easy to mess up, yeah.
It's just another way to do convoluted, confusing things that people don't really understand. It sort of reminds me of these people on Broadway, these slick hucksters who do that, where's the peanut thing, you know, for the tourists.
Exactly.
You know, they switch a peanut around and switch it around, and then you're supposed to figure out where the peanut is. And of course, nobody ever wins that game against the huckster. And this sounds like the same thing. This is the Democrats again. Why don't you out there in America ever get that the Democrats are just plain crooks. I'm not talking about, oh, our team and their team, and it's us versus them, and they're bad and we're good, and that sort of silliness. This is really a fact, because I was a left-wing activist. I actually worked amongst their ranks, pardon the word, and I learned everything about how they operate. And it is all lies. And they acknowledge to each other it's lies. They don't pretend to themselves that it's not. They know they're lying, but their ends justify their means. So no matter what they do, it's okay, because it's on the side of the angels, you know. It's because of our great effects we're trying to get, the great results we're trying to get. So we can murder your mother and your father and imprison your children and burn your house down, but it's all for the greater good. And this has got to be stopped, America. You can't keep allowing this to go on. Sometime the American public has got to get wise.
I wonder how we, again, stop. I don't know why these earmarks got to get back into the system after 10 years and why we're allowing this, but this is our money. And you know, this is not just Democrats, it's Republicans also. Although if you look at the lists that were turned in for all these requests, Actually the ones that the Democrats gave were a little bit more ridiculous and ambiguous. I kind of like one that one of the Republicans gave, which was in Utah, but I think the price tag is absolutely ridiculous. It was $3 million for a smartphone app to track bus locations. That can really help people that have to take the bus. But I think $3 million, I mean, I can do a smartphone application. My company creates them, and it's certainly not $3 million. I wish it were, but it's definitely not. But some of these things that people are asking for, here you go, Mallory, in your favorite place in New York, $2,250,000 to convert a former commercial pier into a multi-use green space for the residents. I mean, the price tag on these things is absolutely ridiculous. And what it makes me wonder, when commonsensically I know that things don't cost this much, so where is this money going? And that's kind of a rhetorical question, because I know where it's going. Going in somebody's pocket. It's going in somebody's relative pocket, or, you know, some friend of theirs or theirs indirectly. You know, they're going to be using their friends and relatives for these projects. This is just why these were banned a while back. And at that time, we all agreed that it was the good thing to do. It was these things should not be tacked on to other projects. And yet here we are again.
They have no systematic review or vetting process for these things. They just steamroller them in. You know, I'm reminded of a time when I was young, I think I was in high school or something. It was quite a long time ago. And there was this huge scandal about this sort of thing. And they were paying $10,000 for toilet seats in the Capitol. Remember that? Does anybody else remember that? The $10,000 toilet seats?
And the $1,000 screwdrivers.
Yeah, so we have to always be watching this, because this is not new. This is not now. This isn't 10 years ago or 50 years ago. It's constant. So we have to keep a constant monitor on these things. But it and you're right. I mean, the Republicans also pull all this stuff too. And isn't it the Republicans now that are actually the ones bringing the earmarks back? That's what I didn't understand in the article that I read. Something about the Republicans were the ones reintroducing the earmarks.
Well, I can tell you is Nancy Pelosi announced that she's very proud of the return of congressional earmarks. But the thing is, these are really not earmarks, okay? This really isn't what I would call an earmark. This is an auction. That's what it is.
Right.
Yeah. These people are up for sale, these Congress people. That's what it is. And it's an auction. They're selling themselves to the highest bidder to do their bidding. And it just sickens me. This cheapens our government. And it's the absolute opposite of capitalism. And we have to stop it.
Absolutely.
Well, how do we stop it?
Well, I think protesting and, you know, physically demonstrating, I think in the streets at the Capitol. Yeah, I think that would be something worthy of doing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, people have to be made aware. You know, everybody is so busy. And now with all these emergencies, I mean, we just seem to be in a state of emergency every other day in America. There's always mm-hmm. something horrifying going on that's attracting everybody's attention. And so they're just not thinking about these things. You know, people are not noticing. And that's always how the far left gets their way in. They always move in undercover at night when nobody's looking. And that's when all of a sudden, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, all of a sudden there were a zillion Somalis suddenly running around the streets of Minneapolis. Nobody even knew where they came from. And they had been flown in the middle of the night in private airplanes. The people in Minnesota had nothing to do with this. They didn't choose it. It was just something that I think Obama pulled off. But this is what they love to do. They're sneaking around in the dark, doing things that we would never even suspect. We're not even thinking about these things.
Well, we're not thinking about them. You're right, because the news every day is worse than the day before. And it's so shocking to the consciousness of Americans what is happening in this country so rapidly under this administration. I would say, let's take that $6 billion and let's continue to build and finish the wall, because that would work.
Bingo. That's so great. If only we could do that.
Yeah. And we're heading toward a financial abyss. Okay. That's what's coming. And the more this government keeps putting out these, you know, billions and trillions of dollars of spending, this is not going to end well.
But, and this is the Democrats, this is the purpose of all of it for the left. Because their ultimate goal is to throw America into complete and utter chaos. As soon as they can make us in such a state of chaos that people just don't even know where to turn anymore, and you can't call the police for help, that's when the totalitarians move in with their draconian, crazy measures in order to bring peace and order to the country. And that's the moment that they take over a country. And they're preparing us for that. And you can see it. If you have consciousness about this and you've watched it happen in other places, it's simply breathtaking and appalling.
It is. And, you know, let's just bring this down to a much smaller level. As a family, and everybody out there listening, and all of us have family somewhere. And in our households, in our own households, if we get ourselves in a position, as many people do, that we have overspent, that now we owe far more than we can pay, right? So that therefore mm-hmm. you have people that file bankruptcy, or companies that file bankruptcy, or people that just get so upset over their life condition at that point because they owe far more than they can pay. I mean, it's the cause of divorces, it's the cause of suicides. It's a really bad thing in your household to be totally upside down, right? So when you take a time like that, and in which a lot of people are already upside down because of the pandemic and of being closed down and of having no jobs for over a year, and you take this to this national level and you have us spending far more money than we have, and it puts us all in debt. I mean, you're right, Mallory. People lose hope. They feel overwhelmed with this and they don't know where to go. So now they're going to be looking to the government to help them get through it, which is the last thing that we want to do, because they're the ones who put us in it. And people do need to understand what is being done to all of us American citizens by this overspending, by these trillions and trillions of dollars that the Biden administration is spending of our money, not on anything that we are having a say about or we are voting on. It's these complete irresponsible government lunatics that we have there right now that are deciding for us and deciding to put us in irreparable debt.
And the way that such strange things are happening in America now, for instance, like this Fauci guy, where did he come from? Why is he dictating all of our personal behavior in America? Nobody ever heard of this guy. And these things pop up and no one in America is standing up and saying, get rid of this guy. We don't need this guy. There's just too many strange and mysterious things that just happen out of nowhere now that did not come through any sort of systematic democratic process. I get very, very almost despondent when I see this kind of stuff. It's just, I don't know how it's happening.
Well, Rand Paul has definitely been very vocal about Mr. Fauci and all the things that he has to say. And, you know, that is something, just so that listeners know, that we are going to be discussing on this very show in the coming days, all about Dr. Fauci. But in the meantime, I'm concerned about these earmarks getting through and these things getting paid for. When I just look at the list, and as I say, anybody can go on and look at the list. I know Sheila Jackson right here in Texas, Sheila Jackson Lee, she wants to build a statue for $1,060,000. They've been tearing down all of our statues. I don't need another statue for $1,000,000. We can spend that $1,000,000 so much better. And then there are people that are asking for money so that the LGBTQ community can have specialized medical services for them. I mean, all of these things should be done on local levels, and these should be things that people in those local communities vote on. We need to have a say, and I feel like our government is taking our entire voice away from us.
Who's the statue to that she wants to build?
It says that, well, the article says the Vison Community Statue Project. I don't know. I thought it might be supposed to say the Vision Community, but it says the Vison, V-I-S-O-N. I have no idea what she wants to build. It's a statue. We don't need a statue for that much money.
No. We they're mostly tearing down really viable, wonderful, beautiful statues that people have. Yes, that are very important statues where we keep in mind where we came from and who are.
And being against abortion, I'm very upset that there's earmarks in this for Planned Parenthood.
And I'm
I'm also not a believer of climate, change. And they've got climate change initiatives in this as well. So, I mean, I agree with you, Linda, 100%. If we need if we need things like this, let's do them locally. Let's vote on them locally.
And everybody should know that we did a great show on climate change called Hoaxes.
Oh, yes.
And people should tune into our show on climate change, because if you have been hoodwinked by that thing, please listen to our show, because I don't think anybody can listen to that show and go ahead believing in climate change anymore. One thing I wanted to bring up today is something that we're having to cope with here in New York City right now, which has a lot of people very up in arms, a lot of very indignant, outraged people here, because they decided not to give us a permit for a Veterans Day parade. You know, we always have a really big, beautiful Veterans Day parade here in New York City every year. And this year, they would not give us the permit for the Veterans Day parade, but they did issue a permit for the cannabis parade, for the Let's Make Pot Legal parade. That was legitimized and permitted. And of course, there's always the big, huge gay pride parade, which people come from all over the country to see this parade here in New York City. They've made a huge thing out of the gay pride parade, and people bring their children. They've got their children sitting on their shoulders watching this enormous parade with outrageous drag queens and transsexuals and transvestites and people marching around in bikinis and out in public. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen, this gay pride thing. And I just want to understand where the proportionality is here. What in the world kind of perspective do we have where the veterans who have risked, and many of them given their lives for our freedom and for the beautiful lives we live in America, and they're not allowed to parade, but the pot devotees are allowed to have a big parade? This is just getting from the preposterous to the more preposterous.
Well, again, this is part of destroying the American culture that we've always loved and known. You know, love of country in America has always been a central theme. We're the shining city on a hill. You know, we have rights endowed by a creator. We're different from every other country on this planet. And we're very proud of our multi-ethnic, you know, community that we have. There is not racial division and strife in America, as the news media would love you to believe and the Democrats would love to foment. It's not there. We're all in this together, and we're all part of this whole big fabric that's been woven together over many hundreds of years, okay? And for us to now say to our veterans who have served that they don't have the right to have a permit, to have a parade to honor these people, this is just unbelievable to me. And again, it's a dig at our society. It's a way to dissolve America. They want to dissolve it.
It's really sickening. And, you know, I have to say, I had the great privilege when I was very young, mostly between my ages of 20 and 30, to live in many foreign countries. And to really live, I wasn't doing little junkets where I was, you know, taking it in, where I was traveling across Afghanistan or Pakistan. I was actually running a household and raising a child and living in Afghanistan and living in the Philippines and living in these various places. And I have to say that during that period, it was the 60s, mostly the 60s, people would pick me out. They'd walk right up to me in a crowd and they'd say, "You're an American, aren't you?" And I'd say, "Why, yes, I am. But how on the earth did you know that? How did you know that?" And they would say to me, "Oh, you can pick an American out anywhere. You're the brightest looking, the most wholesome, most refreshing, beautifully clean cut, beautifully dressed people in the world. We can always tell an American anywhere." And I was just taken aback by this. I had no idea, you know, but people looked up to us. When I was living abroad, they thought being an American was the greatest thing on earth. They looked up to us so much because we were so wholesome. There was something very vivid and healthy and strong and wholesome is the word I keep thinking of about American people. But now it isn't true anymore. It isn't.
The veterans are the people that have kept America, America. And not only that, but we have saved so many countries in the world. Look at France. Look at other countries that we have saved in the world. Germany, we just have been there for everybody. And to not honor our veterans, anybody who has never been a veteran, can you imagine, you know, sleeping in a foxhole at night or losing your arms and your legs or your vision or, you know, seeing your best friend blown to bits, whatever happens to them, even if you are a veteran and nothing bad happened to you, you served this country and everybody in it to give us what we have today. And for New York to not permit that parade, is beyond okay.
It's disgraceful.
Okay. It's so disgraceful.
I mean, we saved all of Europe. We saved Holland. We saved the Philippines. When I lived in the Philippines and I heard the stories of when the Japanese had been occupying the Philippines and then the Americans came in, you know, the Americans are Manila was the second most bombed city in World War II after Warsaw, the second most destroyed city. And it was the Americans who destroyed Manila. And when I hear this story, I go, what do you mean? What do you mean? They said, look, we wanted so desperately to get rid of the Japanese because they were so vicious and so murderous and such terrible occupiers that we gave America permission to bomb the heck out of Manila just to get the Japanese out of here. And we were so grateful to them. And the whole time that I was living there, I was the recipient of these enormous amounts of gratitude from the Filipino people because America saved their country. We've saved so many countries. And our wonderful veterans, you know, that we see them sleeping in cardboard boxes all over New York City now. My wow. heart just breaks when I see these veterans out there without a leg, sleeping on the street. They have no home. They have no, it's just horrifying.
Well, I know that you would both agree with me when I say thank you to all of our veterans and to the city of New York. You just have no class at all. And no. Get that parade back in your city.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. You'll find all that back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Don't miss an episode of the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. Subscribe to the podcast. And for the latest news and inspiration, join us back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
Welcome back to Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. And we are sounding off today. And with me sounding off is Ava Armstrong. She is an author galore. She has numerous books on Amazon and everywhere that you can buy books. Take a look at Ava's books because Ava, she writes about things that are close to our hearts, about our police, our military, and a lot of other little things in there, a lot of love, a lot of mystery, lots of different things in her books, and I love reading her books. And we have Mallory Millett. Mallory is on the board of directors of the David Horowitz Foundation and has been for 30 years, right, Mallory?
Just about, yeah, about 29 years now.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, that's a huge accomplishment in itself, besides the fact that you've lived all over the world. And I'm Linda Martinelli, and I am a business owner and entrepreneur and also the host right here on America Out Loud of Talking While Married, which is on weeknights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I want to get to our next subject, which is really something that I just, you know, in the realm of things that you just can't even believe that this could be happening, it's happening. So we have this woman who is a writer for a online paper in San Francisco, of course, San Francisco. And her name is Katie Dowd. And Katie apparently made a visit to Disneyland and she went on the Sleeping Beauty ride in the Magic Kingdom. And she noticed that Prince Charming at the end kissed Snow White, who was sleeping because she had eaten the poison apple, and he gave her a kiss. Miss Dowd asserts that Snow White was the victim of a sexual assault. What?
Oh, goodness, goodness.
How could this happen? But I mean, come on. Here's my thoughts, ladies, and I definitely want to hear yours because this is just way too over the top. It's way too woke for me. I, as a little girl, loved Snow White. I loved all of the fairy tales and all of the Disney movies. I never thought that anything was inappropriate. My parents never felt that way. I mean, we must have had a much more innocent life then. To me, to have Prince Charming kiss Snow White, it was, oh my gosh, it was every little girl's dream to have the handsome prince give them a kiss. It's every woman's dream to have Prince Charming come in and sweep them off their feet. I mean, have we lost that in America? Have we lost that ability to dream and hope for that perfect person that we would think that a fairy tale kiss is sexual assault?
Well, you know, with the left, I always tell people when I give speeches, one of the things I try to impress upon people is that, you see, the left doesn't mean any of these things they're doing. Katie Dowd doesn't give a hoot about this. This is nothing to do with what they're actually talking about at all. What's important to the left is bullying and lying. Bullying is an art form with the left. They are constantly bullying our culture and bullying us. They move in and then they declare that this is not good, this is very bad, this is evil, you know, but it's all just to deconstruct Western society. Now, the fairy tales are very important. It's just as the Boy Scouts is very important. They come in and they attack our basic fundamental institutions, the things that kind of make us American. And they come in and they start their bullying and they're lying. And then they start to break it all down. They get everybody fighting about it. There are probably people all over America now fighting over Snow White. Everybody's having big fights at their dining room tables at night. Half the family thinks that Katie Dowd is right, and half the family thinks that she's completely, you know, you can't even make up this stuff. And she's a kook from Nowheresville. And then that starts breaking everything down and separating us and getting us fighting about things that don't matter at all. All we talk about now is the climate change, the weather. We're talking about whether a man can be a woman. Should Prince Charming have kissed Snow White? These nonsensical things, when we have such serious problems. Right now, Hamas and Israel are in a near world war right now. They're exploding bombs all over each other. Hardly anybody's even talking about it. Everybody's talking about Snow White and the earmarks or something. So
we have
to be aware of this. We have to be aware that they're distracting us.
I have to jump in here. Again, this is to destroy the culture of America.
Yep. Yep.
The kiss that the prince gave Snow White saved her.
Yes.
And when I was a little girl, this was one of my favorite movies, so I have a lot to say about it. But the prince was special. And yes, there was a touch of innocence and romance about that kiss. But all little girls, in my time frame anyways, we dreamt about that. I mean, we would even kiss our hand and pretend, you know, it was yes. Prince Charming. I mean, you know, that was our little girl fantasy. I mean, it was a beautiful moment. There was nothing sexual about it. And for this Katie Dowd to say that this was, you know, a sexual thing. No, it wasn't. It wasn't sexual at all. It was very innocent and very sweet. And the fact that he saved her life was beautiful, I thought.
He brings her back to consciousness with the kiss, which is very, very real. I remember the very first time my husband kissed me. My husband is the love of my life. And we met 42 years ago. And the very first time he kissed me, I knew he truly woke me up. It was an amazing moment in my life. I knew this was the kiss I was going to be sharing all my life.
I hope you gave him written permission, Mallory.
Well, what kind of a world would this be? Think about this for a minute now. If you're going out with a guy and you're a young woman or any age woman, it doesn't matter. And the guy wants to lean in and give you a kiss. I mean, is he going to have to get a written permission from you? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. Too far. But, you know, one of the things that children, you know, all children love fantasy, you know, that they love, little boys loved playing cowboys and Indians, which they're no longer allowed to do. Hey, I want to tell people that in Texas, you can still buy the little gun set that we used to have as kids, you know, the little fake guns
and have your kids
play cowboys and Indians. I mean, there was nothing wrong with it. They've made something wrong with everything. But as a child myself, I loved the fairy tales. I loved these princes and princesses. I even, you know, even the trolls under the bridge, doesn't matter.
Beauty and the Beast was good. Yeah.
That was my favorite. In fact, I've seen that play like four times. I love it. I love the teapots that, you know, are dancing around and talking. Mm-hmm. And it just is wonderful. It's an escape. And anybody who reads books, and I'm a voracious reader of books are, at least fiction books, are, you know, fantasy, basically. A lot of the things that are in the books, depending on what kind you read, you know, they don't happen, but let us enjoy that escape from reality. And that's what this is. And to have that man with unconditional love, I mean, that's every woman's dream, no matter what. So give that to our children. That's just a gift to our children. That's not something that we should make it be dirty or assault or anything else. I noticed that Katie Dowd never mentioned the evil witch trying to murder Snow White.
Trying to murder Snow White with a poison apple. You know, these people are determined to strip us of all humor, fantasy, imagination. Yeah. They want everything to be, I don't know, like the workhouse. And we're all supposed to be drones living in some sort of huge factory world where we no longer have fantasy or beauty. Beauty, they really want to kill beauty. I mean, first of all, these things that happen in fairy tales, the child knows that this is imagination. They know it's make-believe. Frogs don't turn into princes, nor do mice become coachmen. And glass slippers don't exist. The children know this. They are being going into a little fairyland, a little make-believe land with their mother or their daddy who's reading a story to them when they go to sleep at night. I had that every single night of my early childhood was my father or my mother reading some wonderful thing to me and carrying me off to some beautiful make-believe land where then I could go to sleep very peacefully. And this is an important part of a child's day, you know. I don't know. We're supposed to be hearing Karl Marx read when we go to sleep at night as children now. I don't understand what. I do know that they want to take away all beauty and they want to take away imagination and fantasy.
And they want to take away the position of the male in that in that story. That's what they're trying to dig at. Okay. That's what kills Katie Dowd right there. She wants that male out of that picture altogether.
And prosecuted, for heaven's sakes.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it makes me sad for Katie Dowd, because Katie Dowd must be a very unhappy woman.
She's very dowdy.
Well, it's funny. I saw her engagement picture and her wedding picture, and it was really quite glamorous. And it looked as if she married a very lovely looking man. She's obviously a heterosexual woman, and she just got married to a lovely looking man. And I all I can say is that she's just come out of these gender studies classes. You know, I mean, I don't know if you people realize it, but the gender studies has become the number one, the most important department in the academy now is gender studies. Did you know that? Women's studies and gender studies is now the number one subject in the academy now in America.
Well, it's
and so
sickening.
They're pouring these women out of these colleges like Katie Dowd, and they just want to kill all of our childhood innocence. The innocence of childhood is what they're really attacking too.
Yes.
They're making our children feel guilty over being white or black or Hispanic or Asian. I mean, to me, we
are guilty to be achieving.
Or guilty of achieving. And in Los Angeles, they just also knocked out the mathematics, anything that's elevated in math, because everybody has to be the same. And what same do we strive for? The lowest common denominator, so that everybody that is above that is going to be, you know, stripped of the right to achieve what they could achieve. What a terrible thing to do to people. And that
That
is what communism and Marxism and socialism does to people. It does not allow you to achieve. It just makes everybody into, I don't know, Stepford Wife kind of people. They're all the same. And we are not all the same. We all excel at something, and we all are not great at something. And that's what makes the world go round. That's what's beautiful, is that here's a perfect example. Here's two. I'm extremely good at math. So I handle all of the accounting things in my business, my husband's business, our home. I handle all of that because my husband is absolutely one of the world's best criminologists, but he's not great at math. So I don't do what he does. He doesn't do what I do, but together we get it done in a great way. And the same thing with my secretary at work, who's been with me for over 30 years. I'm extremely chaotic when I work, and she is extremely neat and tidy. And we work together extremely well because we are opposites. She plays to my weakness and I play to her weakness.
And you complement one another, right?
Yes.
That is what we are stealing from our children. And we now, besides stealing their ability to accomplish things like mathematics, and I don't know what other subjects, probably a lot they're doing it in.
All of the honors.
Sure, they stopped doing it at spelling bees, right? I mean, because heaven forbid that somebody should feel like they didn't win. So, you know, that we are doing such a disservice to our children. And now people like Katie, they want to take their fantasy away from them as well. Although I have to say, I don't believe that this woman really feels this way. I think she wanted some attention.
Well, of course. And may I ask, why on earth is it suddenly that one lone person somewhere in some state in America suddenly brings up something like this, and they're one person out of 320 million, and suddenly it becomes the thing of the day, and laws are changed, and the school programs are changed, and because this one person said they were offended at this thing or that thing. You know, one of my favorite sayings is, you do greater offense to take offense than to give offense. And if you stop and think about that, it is absolutely true. And as an ex-leftist activist, I can tell you all out there, leftists are miserable. Everybody on the left side of the equation is miserable, and they want us all to be miserable, and nothing makes them more miserable than happiness. They just hate to note happiness whatsoever. It's just anathema to them. There must be something wrong with you if you're happy. You must be a lightweight. You must be some sort of idiot or something. But you know, they found a new poll now that found that 64% of progressives have mental health issues. I can tell you from being on the left, that's absolutely true. Most of these people are fairly deranged in one way or another. And they're blaming their derangement on you, on society, on everybody out there is making them crazy, when in fact, they're just a very, very unhappy person and they don't like to see anybody else happy. So just try to notice that, friends, that when you look at your family and your friends, the people who are raging about left-wing issues and playing liars and bullies to all of us, take a good look at them and you'll note that this person is really quite disturbed.
Well, that's probably so. I don't know. I know that I'm a happily married person and I'm happy, but here's what I'm not happy about. I'm not happy about so many people of late trying to make me unhappy, like this person. Why are they trying to butt into my life and my fairy tales? I have every Disney movie. I still have them from when my children were little, and my oldest is 41 years old now. So I still have those movies, and I still have all of the Dr. Seuss books that I read constantly to my kids. I loved them then. I love them now. I just bought a slew of them because I want to give them to my upcoming grandchildren whenever they appear. And, you know, I don't want everybody continuing to tell me that I'm racist, that I'm, I don't know, what are all the ists that you could be anymore? You know, they've got so many names that they call all of us, and we're all labeled in so many ways. I'm none of those things. I'm just a person who wants to live my life and leave me alone. And I think that most of us in America feel that way. Why Yes. do people like Katie Dowd have to try to step on our happiness?
Because she's been instructed by her college professors that she needs to break down every sacred thing in America, particularly the family, motherhood, fatherhood, religion, anything that we revere and love and respect and we've carried on through tradition in our country needs to be dismantled. It's called the deconstruction of Western society. And they're very assiduously at it. It is their purpose in life is to take every healthy, wholesome thing that we really love in America and that makes us America. For instance, football, baseball, basketball, and hockey, they're destroying the sports, the male sports, because as long as we have our men playing these wonderful sports, we're going to be pretty dominant in the world. No other country in the world has these four sports that they excel at to such a degree in which everybody takes part in and gets so enfevered over the football season and the baseball season and that. And the boys that really excel at these sports, they have learned how to be warriors. They've learned how to be a team. They've learned how to win, how to lose, how to be gracious in losing, there are all these things that they learn through this thing, and they are very deliberately trying to destroy those men's sports. Everything that props us up as something really special and extraordinarily fantastic in the world, they are trying to tear it down. They want to
Yes, and I have to tell you a secret, ladies. I am homeschooling an 11-year-old girl right now for a friend of mine, okay? And I've purchased everything on Amazon that has been banned. One of the movies that I bought was To Kill a Mockingbird. Another one that I bought was A Patch of Blue. These are classic movies, okay? And this young lady is watching these and her parents are thrilled with what we're doing, the work that we're doing. So I just want you to know the culture of America can still be honored. We just have to do it in our homes. You know, her parents are extremely happy with the curriculum that I've put together for her. And the thing that struck me the most is I also set up a PBS series that was about slavery and Jim Crow laws. And it was a historical perspective that was done. And this little girl who's 11 years old looked at me at the end of it. And she said, the Democrats were Dixiecrats and they were mean to the Black people. She said, the Democrats are the bad people. And I started laughing when she said it because it was just out of the mouth of an innocent child. And she had just, it had just struck her that, you know, this is how this really came down. And I'm showing her things that her parents said to me later, she would never have learned this in school. They would have taught her something totally different. Mm. And
oh, they and so, sure would.
And it's so refreshing for me to just connect with a young mind and give that young mind the actual true history and real things like A Patch of Blue with Sidney Poitier in it and To Kill a Mockingbird, you know, with Gregory Peck and these wonderful stories. I mean, that mirror, you know, what really happened in America. So
really?
It can be done. I just wanted to put a glimmer of hope out there for you all, because it can be done right in your home with you as parents.
Another glimmer of hope is, you know, the new project, and you probably have both heard of it, called the Tuttle Twins.
And no,
that is a cartoon that is, I believe it's out, but they're in the process. They were collecting money so that they could build more of them. And I contributed money to it. And this is a cartoon series that people are loving and children are loving, but it talks about all the things you just talked about, Ava. It talks about our history. It talks about our government. It talks about our civics. It talks about how great our police officers are, but this is a children's show. And it's, I love the concept, and parents are loving it as well. And, you know, I just want to say one more thing about Katie Dowd and Snow White. And that is, hey, Katie, Snow White and the Handsome Prince lived happily ever after.
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.